What is up and welcome to NXpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com E3 edition. Today is our E3 special because literally everyone on this show today was at the conference covering it in depth. So stay tuned to GoombaStomp.com where all of our E3 coverage is seriously just exploding right now. And we're getting a lot of those hands-on impression pieces out as we speak. But we also have to do a little bit of talking about it because there is a lot to cover. It was a lot of fun, but for some of us, it wasn't that great. I've got Ricky D here to talk about it.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation?
What's up, Super Smash Bros? More on that later. I've also got Patrick Murphy here.
We are all now Super Podcast Bros because now we've all met in person.
In real life.
Yeah. Which is incredible. And we've did a lot of drinking together.
Oh, yeah. That was surreal meeting you guys for the first time. It was really, really weird.
Yeah, it definitely is a different experience.
For any new listeners, we've been podcasting for 3 years, but I've known you guys for about 5 years. We've never met in real life until last week.
Yeah, we've been Skyping forever, it seems like.
Yeah, and it went disastrously when we actually met. We're not going to do the podcast anymore. We all hate each other, actually. No, totally kidding. Everything's going great. It was really fun to meet. We also had another friend with us at E3, and that was my co-host at Game Boys, Ryan Kapiowski, who is here right now.
Hello. And yeah, I've known Tim for 20 years, so seeing him at E3 wasn't that exciting.
That's why, like, it sounds brutal on our show when we're like joking and like just trashing on each other, but that's what 20 years of friendship does.
But it was like, great to see Patrick again and to meet Ricky finally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, we're in like the red shell stage of friendship probably with Patrick and Ricky. You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, I don't want to totally like destroy you with the blue shell yet. But after 20 years of friendship, those blue shells come up and you become dependent on them. So Ryan and I like to go after each other.
There's still some courtesy, I think.
Yeah, you know. A little bit.
Yeah, we haven't broken that down quite.
You apologize when you hit everyone with lightning. Oh, sorry.
Exactly. you guys are still doing really good, though.
Yeah, Mario Kart is the perfect like example of levels of friendship and comfort with one another, I think. It's also a home record.
But by the way, listeners, do not ever go drinking with Patrick.
Yeah, Rick and I closed the bars out the first night we were there.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was probably not the smartest choice to make with E3 starting the next day. But you know what? We manned up and we were there.
Yeah, Ryan and I were the responsible ones for once. That's funny. That's funny.
I know. I kept my drinking to a minimum.
I did.
Well, Tim and I did pick up a little bottle of whiskey and kept it in our Airbnb.
Oh, there you go. Well, that was very writerly of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It helped.
It did. Anyway, you guys, this was the third E3 for me, the second for Patrick, the first for Ricky, second for Ryan. Yep. So we have a lot of diverse experience with E3, and I think that we're going to just start with overall impressions of the conference because it's tough to anticipate E3, what it's going to be like for the first time, especially when, Ricky, you've been to literal boatloads of film festivals, but never a gaming convention.
Right. I've been to a lot of film festivals, a lot of conventions like Comic-Cons across the U.S., Europe, and Canada. I've been wanting to go to E3 for about 5 years, especially the past 3 years. I felt it's a necessity because, you know, I sort of am one of the editors of GoombaStomp. It just could never happen. And last year, I was in California, guys. I was in California during E3, and I just could not make it to E3. Mind you, at that point in time, it was too late to apply for press pass. So,
do you remember that we actually passed each other in the Minneapolis airport?
We were at the airport at the exact same time.
Like, we were at separate terminals, though, yeah. So we could actually see each other. But, yeah, we were ships passing in the night there last E3.
Very weird. So, my first time going to E3, I wish it went a little smoother for me in terms of like my actual trip, which is kind of a disaster, which I can maybe talk about in a bit.
Well, I told you that you have to sacrifice a console to the E3 gods for a pleasant trip.
I actually think you are being totally honest right now.
No,
only buy PS Vitas is so that we can sacrifice them.
We went to Santa Monica and threw it off the pier, made our sacrifice, went back to LA, and our trip was fine. You were cursed. I'm making jokes, but you were cursed.
I was. I wrote an article, which our listeners should read over at GoombaStomp.com. It's not the title, the headline of the article seems very negative. It's not completely negative, except for my thoughts and feelings of Los Angeles, the city. But yeah, I had a really bad experience. I mean, I had to change my flight at the last minute, which took me to Atlanta, Georgia, which makes no sense because that's all the way in the south. And then I had to go to LA. So by the time I got to LA, I hadn't slept in 24 hours. I was dead tired. The Airbnb that Patrick and I reserved was a total scam. So I had like 4 hours to find the place. So I found the place like right before I left for LA. And then the place I found was, I call it Murder Hotel. And there was actual murder that took place in a hotel, apparently suicides. You can read up on the history of that place. It's haunted, like seriously haunted. There is some creepy old man roaming the hallways at night. I'm not entirely sure what he was doing. I'm not even sure if he was a person and or a ghost. Apparently there's ghost sightings. Like, Patrick, you went to the hotel. You were like, this place is weird. There's okay.
Oh,
dude, does anyone regret it? Ryan, are you regretting our nice flat when he's talking about this? Like, I want to stay in a ghost hotel.
Not at all, because he also told us about all the cockroaches he saw, and I want none of that.
Yeah, you did not want to be here.
I was lucky. I didn't get any cockroaches or bedbugs in my hotel room, but as soon as I got into the hotel room, the first thing I did, there was a pharmacy next door. I went to the pharmacy, and I actually cleaned the hotel room myself because they didn't actually clean the room. But I did see massive, huge cockroaches outside hotel. I seen giant rats. And I know that one of the guests, as I was checking out on Friday, was seriously, seriously pissed off and demanding a refund because he had cockroaches. But it was more than just the cockroaches. The elevator broke down. There's actually a sign. There's a sign when you get into the elevator, and it warns you that the elevator randomly stops with no rhyme or reason. It has a mind of its own. Like, the place is haunted. So my laptop stopped working for no reason, and my cell phone. But then it just started working again. Like, it's not like it broke. It just, for whatever reason, haunted hotel here wouldn't allow me to use electronics. The internet sucked. I couldn't do any writing. And it was just a nightmare. But I made it. And I actually arrived a few days early. So I did get to go to some of the press conferences, like, for example, the Microsoft press conference. So I did some of the quote-unquote E3 activities that aren't technically part of E3. And we also did some parties, Patrick and I. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so that's all your experience. But I think what people want to know is, how was the conference itself for the first time, or the second time, or the third time? What is it like to actually attend E3? So let's get into that and have everyone hop in here. But Rick, what was your first experience at the actual conference, opening up the show floor and getting out there and playing the games? How was your experience there?
It was a bit disappointing, somewhat surprising. Okay, so I thought I would have to line up for about an hour just to get into the building because of security reasons. I got to say, the security at E3 is amazing. Okay, I give them props for the security. Very fast, very efficient, very friendly. They get the job done. I got in right away. It took me like, 10 minutes, guys, to get in the first day?
Max.
So that's a plus. That's a bonus point. So then you get into E3, and I do think it is organized. Like, E3 itself, like, in terms of, like, how they set up the booth. In terms, like, you know, they had the West Hall, the South Hall. I didn't think it was crowded at first, but then I realized that they hadn't yet let in the general public. So it was essentially industry and press holders. So it wasn't that bad, but I was a little disappointed because I've heard stories about how Nintendo, for example, in the past 2 years had like the most amazing booth. Like, last year it was all decorated via New Donk City. The year before it was Breath of the Wild. This year because Smash was headlining the event, I guess they couldn't thematically link the decorations of the booth to a fighting game. So it wasn't as amazing as previous years. And I mean, it's still, like, the Nintendo booth itself, I still think is impressive. Despite the fact that, you know, I missed out on the new Donk City look or the Breath of the Wild look from 2 years ago. But I love how they have the stage in which they have the Smash and Splatoon tournaments taking place. And they have this massive, massive wraparound screen. Like, the screen wraps around the whole entire booth from Nintendo. And you can watch a treehouse. You can watch the trailers and the Nintendo Direct on the screen, this massive screen, while you stand in line waiting to play games. So it's sort of like going to a U2 concert, and U2 has that huge screen. It's similar to that, right? So I love that. I don't know. I really just like the Nintendo setup. And I like how you can look up, and on the far left, there is the balcony in which you can see, you know, the Nintendo VIPs like Miyamoto or Reggie, like, sort of like hanging out, and they're looking out into the crowd. But what's awesome is that these guys actually walk around E3. Like, you can actually run into these people, like Sakurai, Miyamoto, Reggie, if you are lucky. I don't know. I love the Nintendo booth. They had these giant props for the Super Smash series, which technically is giant props for all of Nintendo's history of, like, their greatest franchises, right?
Some of them were exclusive to Smash Bros., though.
Yes, it's true. Actually, in my article, I have a picture with Sakurai, and he's standing next to, he's posing with the Donkey Kong hammer. So you could just to give you an example that they do walk around, you can, you know. But he was at the Smash tournament, right? And when he showed up, I don't know if you guys were there, but everyone was just chanting his name. They were just going crazy, like the ambience and atmosphere there, like, just to see all these people, like, worship this guy, who's, like, one of the greatest game developers of all time, and he made one of the greatest games of all time. So to see him show up and to see him get that much attention and love was just amazing. I'll stop there. But the Nintendo booth, I was really, really impressed at how well organized they are. And we're not going to talk about the actual Direct yet or the games, but I will say that we are lucky because Nintendo invited us to their media room on the first day. We were supposed to only go to the last day, but they invited us on the first day. And they also let us into the VIP booth. Now, to be fair, we didn't run into anybody. Like, we didn't see Reggie, which would have been way awesome if we did. But the fact that they invited us to the VIP room, and on the last day, guys, Nintendo let us back in into the media lounge. But they just basically let us hang out. We could have stayed there the whole day if we wanted to. So Nintendo, like, really treats their fans and the press and media like gold.
Yeah, yeah. No complaints. Like, they did a good job last year getting us in, and same thing this year.
Like, I think
the hospitality is great.
That's where the instances where E3 still comes off as, like, a press or an industry event are the best moments. So when you're getting that, like, behind closed doors treatment, that's when E3 kind of comes to life and feels like a lot better of an experience. And Nintendo just exudes hospitality. And while you're in their demo area, the press demo area, you're going to have a Nintendo attendant, like, just by your side the entire time. They're to answer questions. They're to continually ask if you want to play something else and to, like, allow you to get the experience you actually want. So,
but Tim, that's what I was leading up to, because the thing is, and I wrote this in my article, is that I don't know if I would recommend E3 if you're not, like, if you're not media or if you're not industry, because, like, I'm sorry, but it's really expensive to get into E3, and you get into E3, it's kind of chaotic when the general public gets in, and then you basically have to spend your whole entire week lining up to play games. And when I say lining up, like, the lineup for Spider-Man was an hour. So you would have to line up for Spider-Man to play 10 minutes of that game. It's like, it's too much. But the thing about the Nintendo booth is, at least Nintendo, the way they organize and structure their booth, it's made in a way so that the fans are always entertained while they are waiting for games, because you are watching a Treehouse, you're watching a Q&As, you are watching a Smash Brothers tournament, you're watching a Splatoon tournament. You have tons of time to take these photos with these props. And, you know, at least Nintendo does a better job to like they consider the amount of time people have to stand in line to wait to play one of their games, and they try their best to at least entertain the general public while they wait.
Let's continue to like kind of give an impression of the conference before we get into the, like, was it worth it? Let's just share some of the examples of wait times and that experience, like, of being on the show floor. So like Rick said, Nintendo wasn't his theme. There was still some Smash Bros. Stuff. They had, like, a lot of their carpets were themed. Like, there was you were on a tennis court when you played Aces, or the, like, competition for Smash Bros. Was on replica Battlefield, like, carpeting, so that it looked like the stage Battlefield or Final Destination from Smash Bros. So that was, like, all cool and good. But the actual waiting in line for Smash Bros., they managed to get it consistently down to 45 minutes to half an hour the entire show through. That line was never worse than 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Granted, the demo was probably about, what did we decide, 6 minutes long?
Yeah, I think it's 2 rounds of 3 minutes.
But still, only having to wait 30 minutes for a brand new Smash game, that was really well handled by Nintendo, very well organized, a lot of lessons learned.
Much better than last year, by the way, when it was the mob the first day, and we were waiting 3 hours, over three hours to play Mario Odyssey.
That's insane. Okay, so I got two questions then. Is it because they let four players on one console to play Smash at the same time, or was it just like two at a time? Because that would make the line...
It was both.
And also they kept the demo short. You know, there's these demos that are like 15 minutes, you know, or 20 minutes. I think the Mega Man 11 demo was 20 minutes, and it's like, oh my God. So this line is short, but it's still going to take well over an hour because everybody's playing for so long. And if you keep a demo at 6 minutes, and frankly, 6 minutes is all you kind of need to get your hands on Smash, right? Because how much is really going to change? Like, that's what I think was so smart, and it kept the line moving.
The demo for Spider-Man was a good 15 minutes, or if you got to the boss fight, they extended it by 5 minutes, so it could be up to 20, but it did give you a good feel for that game.
And that being the only real experience that Sony had there, like, not to be too reductive.
It was. You're not, like, exaggerating. It was all they had.
There was FIFA, or you could sign up for the PlayStation Experience. If you were lucky, you could get into that. It's a garbage system. Sony, you should feel bad.
We say it every year.
It, like, you could either, like, maybe get in to play some Destiny, or maybe get in to play some, it was Call of Duty.
Black Ops. Yeah. I mean, they also had their VR stuff, so you could to get into that.
But, like, mostly it was just Spider-Man, and that line, at its worst, was about an hour and a half for a potentially 20-minute demo. That's when you're, like, in that, like, as someone who's been to a lot of gaming conventions for a game that's not released that is highly anticipated, that's not a bad deal. I feel like that's manageable. That's like about an hour and a half is the point where I'm like, is this really worth it? For Spider-Man, I lean towards yes.
On the other hand, like Kingdom Hearts 3's line was 3 hours over at Square Enix.
Well, not like, if you went to Microsoft, though.
Exactly. Tim and I went to Microsoft on the first day.
Before we go to Microsoft, because we're still like bouncing between Sony and Nintendo.
Well, let's stick with the big three first, right?
We should also clarify, though, because we said like the wait for Smash Bros., the wait for Spider-Man at Sony, the wait to get into like the general Switch area was about 30 minutes where you could play a lot of stuff that's coming to Switch, including like Paladins, that Killer Queen Black game that I had never heard of. A couple of
Mario
other
tennis.
Mario Tennis. But within Nintendo's booth, there was a game that was a nightmare to get into, which is unfortunate. And that was Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, was about a 3 hour wait the entire convention.
Yeah, that was on the show floor. Everybody wanted to play Pokemon, which is understandable when you consider the other games that were on the show floor. Basically, it's Smash and Pokemon, and then a bunch of small games that, you know, and Mario Tennis, which is coming out in like days. So I don't think anybody was super keen on that one.
That's the weird thing. So this is my first E3, and so like I'm just trying to like describe it, like for our listeners, like use your imagination, just picture like being at the event, right? And so, like, the problem with Sony is, I kind of feel bad criticizing Sony for just showing up with Spider-Man because Nintendo showed up with just Breath of the Wild, like, 2 years ago. But it's that Sony had a ton of games at E3, not just games that they announced like The Last of Us 2 or Red Dead Redemption, which they had during their press conference, right? They showed footage and gameplay of those games. Those weren't on the show floor, by the way. But they had all of these games, but they decided to only put Spider-Man on the show floor. And so that's why I'm like, for anyone who purchased tickets and had to wait in line for everything that they do at E3, and you show up and you're a fan of Sony, well, guess what? You can play Spider-Man, and that's it. That's it. Nintendo, I did not know the Pokemon line was so long, because we, again, we're lucky. We got into the media lounge and the VIP room, so we just played the Nintendo games with the Nintendo employees, who, by the way, were amazing. Yeah. That's another thing I love about Nintendo is I found their and I know we do a Nintendo podcast, so of course we're biased, but I found their staff to be so incredibly friendly and helpful. I mean,
and passionate.
They actually played video games.
That's not being on a Nintendo podcast. They seem way more into their games and excited about them than almost any other reps I talk to. Like standing line
with the exception of like some of the lines, you're waiting to play a game and it's the developers that are showing it off.
Yeah.
So they're incredibly friendly, and of course they know more than everyone else.
I found the developers to be like they'll answer your questions and they'll certainly talk about the game. But I found the Nintendo people offering more information than those developers.
Clearly more prepped for
the and just overall seeming more excited, like they really genuinely enjoy this stuff.
Well, it depends, because you weren't there the last day. The last day we managed to get into like the Sony private booth, and we played that's where I played Spider-Man, and I played Days Gone, and I played Concrete Genie. And the thing is that even before I got onto Concrete Genie, I was talking to the art director and one of the programmers for like a half an hour about the actual game, which, by the way, looks amazing. With Days Gone, I talked to two of the developers for like about 20 minutes before Ryan and I actually started playing the game. So, but that was, you know, again, that was like because we're lucky, we're media. But the thing is, on the last day, Patrick, you weren't there. Tim and Ryan actually ditched me. I got them into the Nintendo booth, and they're like, okay, see you, Ricky, bye. And so I was by myself, but one of the Nintendo reps, she ended up playing she played Smash, Mario Tennis, and FIFA with me for like about 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're awesome in there. I find that
ditched, he means I was like, hey, can I play Pokemon? And one of them was like, yeah. And so I just went played more Pokemon for like 20 minutes straight.
And we got in trouble with Nintendo for playing Pokemon. We were taking a look at the menus, and we were not
I was like, what's the menu look like? And I just pulled up the menu, and she's like, oh, we're not showing that right now. And I was like, oh, let's
but
get
it's here.
Indian Forest. And she's like, we're not showing that right now. And I was like, I'm moving forward. I'm ready.
That's kind of like when I broke Metro Last Exodus and ended up somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be. And I saw like a bunch of scripted scenes that I wasn't supposed to see. And the developer was flipping out. He's like, how did you get here? They were like tripping. Apparently there's a huge bug in the game. But anyways, we talked about two of the big three. Let's move over to Microsoft really quick to give a comparison.
So this year, Microsoft did something really, really different. It's the first time they ever did this. So, Rick, this wasn't the standard experience. They weren't on the main show floor. They had moved all of their stuff to the Microsoft building, which is across from the LA Convention Center. And
oh, my gosh.
Two or three floors full of games. And a lot of them were the big AAA experiences that they showed off during their press conference, all available at way shorter wait lines with better hardware.
So that was amazing because it's my first E3, but I wrote this in my article. That was a wise decision to move their booth to their own building across the street, because when I went to the Microsoft building, guys, while some people waited an hour to play Spider-Man or 3 hours to play Pokemon, I played Soul Calibur, Jump Force, Ori and what was it? Ori and the Wisp of Wallows or whatever it's called.
Will of the Wisps.
That's what I said. And I played there was one more game I played. Anyways, I played I played four games in less than an hour. And then I realized I lost my hotel key, so I had to leave to go try to get back into my murder hotel. But anyways, four games in less than an hour. The lineups were short. I like the way, like, most developers had a store set up so they can sell some merch. Microsoft did the best job. Again, they have their own building. That was great. And it makes the actual convention center less crowded.
Yeah, and this made for, like, a really cool, separate experience.
I loved everything about this because last year the Microsoft booth was so crowded, like you couldn't walk through the aisles. It was such a mess. Having it all here cut down on so many of the lines. And again, we got to see a bunch of games that I didn't think we were going to be able to because the lines are so bad at the actual convention center.
You know, the thing is, Microsoft last year, I feel like is the booth where I played the most games other than, well, Nintendo, obviously, but that's only because we had our media thing.
There were some games where it was packed, but there were some games where the wait was entirely manageable. It was like 10 minutes because they were smaller, so you could get in to those 10-minute waits instantly.
They showed a lot more games last year.
Yeah, that's kind of been their thing. But then there was a couple of games that were like really big experiences, like Sea of Thieves, where just did not have enough room for all of the people. They didn't have room for the lines,
which is weird.
Right.
I mean, they couldn't have anticipated what the public was going to do. That was the issue last year. This year, they were better. Everyone was better equipped for it.
And they capped lines.
Yeah.
This year, every studio was able to, or publisher was able to cap lines so that they wouldn't start extending into the hallways and mobbing people and clogging lanes. Like this year, they knew what was going to happen. And so they cut lines off and they'd be like, come back in a little while or something and we'll get you in line again. But they tried to keep lines to a minimum as far as like turning into raging rivers of people.
Yeah. So we talked about the big three. We could talk about some of the other developers soon. But I think the thing is, I think, Tim, you said this and I said this too, is the success of E3 really depends on the developers and what games they bring to the show floor, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, if you look at Nintendo, okay, like, you know, you guys got Pokemon. I'm not huge on Pokemon. I had Smash. That's about it, really. I actually had Mario Tennis. Nintendo sent me the game the day I left for E3. Like, I literally downloaded the game 10 minutes before going to the airport. So for me, for Nintendo, I had Smash, and that was, you know, enough because I also got to experience E3 and the Nintendo booth. But then at Sony, you had Spider-Man. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're a general ticket holder and you show up at E3 and you got, like, one game to play from Sony and maybe one game that interests you from Nintendo, already out of the three big companies, you've only got two games. And so... Like, it's like that's the tricky part, because just because they show games during their press conference, like, for example, The Last of Us or Cyberpunk 2077 or Red Dead Redemption, it does not guarantee that those games will be available for the public to play. And even some of those games aren't available for the press to play. Like, they had Cyberpunk 2077 behind closed doors, but... Even the guys at IGN, like the biggest video game website in the world, they were able to watch 45 minutes of gameplay, but they couldn't actually play the game. So that's the thing. Like, I think, like, if you are going to E3, you know, do expect to wait in line for the majority of your time. Things are expensive, you know. Do not eat inside a convention center, for example. I just wish there was more to do, I guess, in between playing demos. Like, you know, when you go to San Diego Comic-Con or any Comic-Con, there's always a Q&A, there's always a panel, there's always a show, there's always a game or something to participate in. And I wish there was more of that at E3, because there really wasn't. Like, there was an ice cream truck that Bethesda gave us free ice cream, which was amazing.
Bethesda. Props to Bethesda, who had a cool booth as well.
Yeah, and yes, very cool.
Free ice cream, baby.
Yeah,
their reps were super nice to us. We got that ice cream because that actually wasn't free ice cream for anybody in the public, Rick. Remember, that was because we got it. They gave us a special little pass to get into a presentation.
Yeah, like, Tim, I know you're gonna like rebuttal what I just said, but like, I think the thing is, you know, people do travel very far. Like, people come from Japan and Australia and like Europe and Canada to go to E3, and I just wish that some of the developers, like Sony, would do a little something for all these people that travel to go, you know, play their games. And it seems like they just don't care. Sony, really.
I think that's fair. I think in terms of, like, having panels and all of that, it's worth reminding that this is supposed to be a media and industry event. That's still the heart and soul of E3, is for media and for the industry. If you bought a Gamer Pass, sorry, it's not about you. They don't care about you. They took your money, and they're happy about that you gave them money. But it's not about, like, learning about the industry, because everyone there is industry.
And this is only the second year, and already it is such an improvement over last year. Like, Patrick, you remember those lines. You remember what, like, a zoo it was. Like, no one was prepared for the public. And even on like the second day, people started figuring it out. This time, things were so much more streamlined. You give E3 another 5 years, I'm sure it's going to be more welcoming to the public. But right now, they're still focused on purely the industry side.
You say it's going to be more about the public. I personally am hoping the opposite is true.
I never said that was a good thing.
It's still going to be more about the public. They're totally going to, they're going in that direction already. I mean, you can tell from last year to this year, and the way that the way all the press conferences are delivered now. We were talking about that before the show, about how they don't deliver all the stats and things like that they used to. It's less trade, it's more hype for fans, and the show is just going to become a big fan show eventually. I mean, they're obviously going to want press there because they need to have their you know, advertising and promotion of their product.
But, and maybe the way that they maintain the balance there is that, like, with Sony, they just kind of let us into a media area, and we could play everything without waiting.
Yeah.
And yep. I think that's how you manage that, and I think that's fine. If that's how they do it, is, like, media just has more space and more opportunity to just get in and cover the games, because that's what's frustrating to me, is if I cannot cover your games, why am I there? Like, Ubisoft, I can't play your new pirate game because you have a 3-hour wait. And there's no consolation for me as media.
That's my bad, though, because I didn't get as connections to Ubisoft, which is weird because my brother works at Ubisoft. But Ubisoft was the only one I couldn't crack. So hopefully next year we can actually get into the media for Ubisoft.
That's on them, right? Like, we're...
It's true. It's up to them to sell their product. Promote their product to us so that we can promote
and,
the product.
And there are cases...
If they don't want to do it.
There are really cool cases of, like, last year... the line was too unruly for Sea of Thieves, and I, like, walked up to the guys at Rare. I was like, hey, I'm from a site called Goomba Stomp. I'm the Xbox editor. Me and my buddy are really, anticipating this game. We would love to play it, but there hasn't been any opportunity because the line's capped. And he was like, oh, hey, hold on. Let me go grab my schedule, and we'll sign you up. And, like...
Well, the same thing happened to us at Bethesda. We approached their media counter, and they're like, no, we don't have all of our appointments are booked, but here, why don't you take this free ice cream thing? But that ice cream thing was actually a pass to go play Rage 2, which you needed to have appointments to play. So they gave us, we got to go play Rage 2 in a private room, you know, or whatever. And that was great. Like, they gave us something at least.
And other companies that are, like, rude and turned us away, like Capcom, you didn't even bring Devil May Cry, so your whole conference sucked.
Except Capcom.
You did a bad job. Had
the best booth in
No, they didn't. They just had Resident Evil.
I agree with Patrick.
They had the best looking booth.
Yes.
But every year they do these incredibly cool looking booths that let in, like, 5 people at a time.
The line was atrocious.
They literally capped it on the last day in under an hour.
Yeah, forget playing Resident Evil 2. That was an impossibility. People sacrificed their lives to try to get into that game.
I jokingly walked past someone and was like, you do know this is a remake, right? Like, this isn't even a new game.
That's why I didn't even bother playing it. And I really think that game will be awesome. But at the same time, if you just are into, like, awesome booths, It was by far the best looking one. If you like Resident Evil, they made the Raccoon City Police Department, and it was great.
Thank you. I wrote that in my article. They had the best looking booth, and they also had the whole Mega Man display was amazing too.
Yeah, that was cool.
Can we talk about how many zombies there were on just the show floor and walking into the convention? Because I feel like every game that was coming out this year had zombies, and they all hired actors.
Here's the question of the day. Was there more zombies or more annoying YouTubers at E3?
YouTubers.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I'm sorry, but nobody needs you guys to come behind my shoulders and film me playing video games, okay? We don't need coverage of someone else playing video games for your YouTube channel. IGN has that covered, okay? Like, I'm so sick and tired of every second person at E3 holding up a camera to my face. Nobody cares about your YouTube channel, all right?
Or just walking through the show floor. Like, do we need 12,000 videos of somebody walking through
the
show floor?
It's annoying. Like, I'm at the point where I don't care if I'm being, like, mean here. Nobody gives a shit about your YouTube channel, okay? Because the way you guys run around the E3 show floor, you deserve to have people tell you that nobody gives a shit about your YouTube channel because you guys are annoying as
what you deserve is for somebody to bump right into you and drop your camera and knock it out of your hands. Because
it was just
the YouTubers don't watch where they're going.
Yeah, stopping in the middle of the lanes, not watching where they're going, like they were creating problems. I get that their fans want to see, you know, this experience, and not everyone has a chance to go to E3 or see what it's like, but it was just causing so but many more every, problems for the people
here's,
going.
Here's the thing with that, is like, now that it's open to the public, I remember last year there were a lot of people that are like, oh, it's always been my dream to go to E3, and it's kind of like, cool, good for you, we all worked to get here, like, we all got positions on a media channel to
Dude,
get to
E3. It's not that though. Look, it's like you go to forget about video game convention. You go to like Hawaii or something. You're on the beach or some resort, and you're shining a camera in everyone's face. Like, look, when I go to Comic Cons, any Comic Con, okay, if I take a picture of someone in cosplay, I actually have the decency to ask them, hey, can I put this picture on my website? I ask them, can I take a picture of you?
Yeah,
that's how you're supposed to do it. You don't go shining video cameras in people's faces. But it's just so weird because they don't have a media badge, right? They have to film other people playing the video game, and you know that just tells me that nobody's watching your YouTube channel if you can't even get a media badge. All right,
and so, even if you are on a big YouTube channel, don't go walking down the middle of E3's hallways with your camera in front of your face and not looking where you're going and just expecting everybody else to get out of your way, because next
my,
time
my
I'm
big
not
one
going
was
to.
Like the stopping and then turning to look at like the Nintendo stage, because it was all the time, and you would be like walking and someone would just stop, rotate 90 degrees and start filming something. You're like, I was trying to get from here to here. Why are you blocking me now?
I actually had to like stop someone. Yeah. And be like, walk to the far side and stop where people are stopping. This is the aisle.
That's courtesy, but the YouTubers don't have any because they're the world revolves around their YouTube channel. I don't, and like Rick said, don't throw a camera in somebody's face, because you have to ask for permission for that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're going to get up close. It's different with crowd shots because, whatever, we're all in the crowd and it's harder to pick somebody out. But when I'm playing a game and you stick a camera right in my face, and guys, I'm telling you, we're talking 6 inches from my face, like, I'm going to turn around and be a little upset by this. Like, why are you doing this? I didn't sign up for this. Just a random person started filming me without my permission. I'm not cool with that.
Yeah, it happened to me. It happened to me throughout all of day two, especially when I was at the Microsoft booth. There was a bunch of people who did it, but there was one guy specifically who kept filming me playing Soul Calibur. Because I don't know, I was so annoyed. Anyhow, I got one last thing to talk about before we move on. For anyone who hasn't been to E3 and is kind of wondering what it's like to actually go to one of the press conferences, it's a little disappointing once again. So it's kind of cool. Like, I went to the Microsoft press conference, which was on Sunday. Technically, E3 starts Tuesday, but I guess it's still part of E3. And so I get to the Microsoft Theater. I line up for like 45 minutes. It's like super hot outside. I didn't have a water bottle. I'm dying of thirst. We have to go through security. And all I'm thinking is like, I need water. I need water. I get into the building. There's no water anywhere. They had one vending machine that was completely sold out. I was like, okay, you're inviting all these people over to your press conference. You can't even like have, I don't know, a bar or give out bottles of water or anything. Very strange, guys. So then they escort you to the seat. You pick a seat. You sit down. You watch a press conference. But the thing is, at least with Microsoft, is they don't do anything for the actual crowd, because the people there are live. So you can watch the press conference from home and actually have a better time than I did watching it in the actual Microsoft Theater, because in all honesty, they don't do anything for the crowd that gives me a reason to go see it, as opposed to staying home in the comfort of my own home, you know, watch it online, have a bottle of water and or a beer or whatever. Like, it was just kind of a letdown. And I don't know if it was like this last year, but nobody was giving out swag. And I know, like I seem like a brat saying like, hey, I want some free swag. But I don't know. I kind of expected some free swag from somebody.
It's nobody. Going down
when
and down
showing
and down.
Up, you're covering the events, you know, for them, right, as press. And when you're showing up, doesn't mean any difference over just watching it online. Why even bother turning up in the crowd? Like, there has to be a reason to cover this thing.
Well, Ubisoft does a really good job.
As opposed to, you know.
But that, like, Ubisoft, like, okay, so Microsoft had, I think, the best press conference in terms of what they announced, but in terms of like just like taking into consideration that people have traveled far to go to the Microsoft Theater to watch this event, and we're there for 3 hours, and you're not even doing anything for the crowd to justify us being there, as opposed to watching it streamed online. But Ubisoft, at least they had the opening dance number, they had the orchestra.
But for some of us, here's the thing: it's a difference between like you're not a patron, you're covering the event, you're working the event. So for like them, it's just like, they're going to do their best to hype it, and you're supposed to just hype it for them. With Ubisoft, they tried to like make it entertaining for people, but for a lot of press, it's a waste of time. Just make your announcements and let them leave, because they're covering the event. So like, it's not a show experience. It is a press event.
I'm pretty sure outside of Nintendo, I didn't watch any of the events live. I think during the Xbox event, I was having lunch, and Tim, you were just sending me updates about it.
I know. I just feel, for whatever reason, I'm just like, you know, if you're a listener and you think that going to these press conferences is like amazing or gives you some kind of like experience outside of watching streamed online, no. Like, I guess what I'm trying to cap off this whole opening 45-minute conversation before we move on, I think the thing is that a lot of times you listen to media, like the guys at IGN or whatever, and they talk about how E3 is like the greatest thing ever, and it's like Christmas and blah 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 blah. But you got to understand, like, that's the press. And so I just don't want people to think that E3 is like the bee's knees and like the greatest thing ever. Because honestly, dude, there's no, like, I think you can watch everything from home online and have just as much of a good time as being there live, because you get to see everything.
And you might actually be more excited.
Yeah. It's Christmas in that E3 is Christmas in that you get a bunch of announcements, which is exciting as a gamer. There's a lot for you to look forward to. That's what it's like. That's why it's like Christmas. The actual show floor experience is a lot of waiting in lines. It's a lot of crowds. Exactly. So like, it's not like you're instantly walking onto Smash Bros. There's a give and take. You give 30 minutes, you get 6 minutes. And that's how it is across the board. So
I still love it. Like, okay. I don't know, maybe I'm just a bit too much of an optimist here, but it's like, I look forward to E3. It's always a fun time.
I don't know, Ryan. The three reasons why I went to E3 was, number one, to meet you guys in person, finally. That to me, that was worth it, okay? I don't care how much money I spent, whatever, it was worth it. Number two was to actually just experience it, to say, hey, I've been at E3. And number three was to network, and I did a lot of networking. And so for me, the best part of E3, which is one of the reasons why I may consider going back, is meeting people. So like, when Patrick and I go to this event at a bar, and it's only for people who are part of the media or industry, or when I'm at the airport and I whip out my Nintendo Switch and it just so happens I'm sitting next to the team from Bethesda, and all of a sudden we're playing a game of a tournament of Mario Tennis at, you know, at the airport with the guys who are the makers of Rage 2, like, you know, moments like that, those are my highlights of E3, you know, hanging out in the Nintendo VIP room.
Talked about this, Rick, when we were walking around, and I was thinking, like, maybe I'm not suited to, like, I was super, super disappointed with the games that were brought to E3 this year. Like, for me, the show was so lackluster, I almost felt like it was a complete waste of my time to even be there. Except that I thought that I got the biggest kick on the last day that I was there out of just going around to the different booths and talking to the media reps. I think I'm much better. I enjoy the networking as well a lot more. Like, going to that party and talking to people about the companies, about their games, much more than standing in line and waiting to play the games, at least this year. Last year, I had a great time doing that because I thought there were a lot of interesting things. This year, I didn't so much. I was pretty down on the conference as a whole, or, you know, on the event as a whole. But I did love the networking. I think that's, if I were to go again in the future, talking to people would be kind of my safety net is for being productive. Because when there aren't games that you're interested in or that don't look interesting, it makes writing really a chore. And you got to keep in mind, like, this isn't our job. For everybody who's saying, like, well, your press, it's your job to do this. No, it's not my job to do this, because I don't get paid to do any of this. None of us do. We're doing this as out of a passion project. And if there's no passion, then it makes it a super chore to write about these things that you don't right. really care
we,
about.
We are lucky, though, because we do get the media press badges. We do get yeah. all of this VIP treatment, but it's not our job. So we don't have to, for example, run between demo and demo, go to the media room and try to write up an article like, say, the guys who work for major publications like Polygon or IGN,
yeah,
which
it's
therefore...
their job. It's
exactly.
their job.
Exactly. And that's, that can
and
be stressful.
Paid for them, too.
That's
like,
right.
Right,
that's
but... the other... But I kind of feel that they might not enjoy the show as much as us because we can take our time and do whatever the hell we want.
But,
like we
but
don't
it's
know.
Work
they're,
it's work.
They're
they don't
assigned,
they
yeah.
enjoy the show as much as us because they're working. I don't enjoy my job like as much as somebody might enjoy so, doing it, you know, as a passion.
We gotta wrap this up, but I think let's close this discussion at just saying, is it worth attending E3? Answer as press and answer as public, please. Let's go ahead and start with Ryan.
Same as last year, I think we all came to a consensus. Going as a member of the press, making those connections, meeting with the developers, it is 100% worth it. Buying a gamer pass, spending all the money, like flying out there just to stand in lines to play, you know, maybe two or three games a day because now media has even more time. I honestly don't think you can justify it. It's too much money. It's not enough there. You're waiting in line forever, and LA is not a great city.
Okay, how about you, Rick?
Oh, I agree. I'm not going to repeat what Ryan just said. If you can get a media badge, go. If not, just you know, be warned.
And Patrick?
Yeah, I would say if you can get a media badge, go at least once. I think it is something that you need to attend. I would not bother if I was public. No chance. I mean, you're taking a huge gamble on that there are going to be things there that you like. And like Ryan said, like that part of LA sucks. The whole of LA, not necessarily, but that part sucks.
Yeah, read my article. I really don't like that part of LA.
There's nothing in downtown LA for anybody.
Yeah, E3 is still very much a press event. I think it's great to go as press, go as industry. For public, you're honestly looking at $900 for a ticket to play maybe 9 total games over the over the span of 3 days. If that's worth it to you, I guess go for it. But you're talking $100 a game. Legitimately, I'm not exaggerating. That's what you're looking at. And that's only going to be worse if you're waiting for something that has like a 3-hour wait. So take that into consideration. There are better public gaming conventions like PAX in its many forms now. I would say go to PAX. You'll have a better time. You'll be able to do a lot more for a lot cheaper. So honestly, just stick to those. I think they're better for the public and more like Ryan and I maybe have more fun at PAX. We're taking a break. When we're back, we're going to actually review Nintendo's Nintendo Direct E3, whatever they're calling it. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to N Express. We are at our last segment for the day where we're going to talk about actually Nintendo's conference, what was announced, what we're looking forward to, and a little bit of what was missing in our opinions and the opinions of our writers at GoombaStomp.com. So why don't we go ahead and start with, clearly, this was about Smash for Nintendo.
I mean, I think they spent two-thirds of their time during the Direct on just Smash Bros. So,
as a Smash Bros. Fan, this was the right move. I loved this Direct. I was very excited afterwards. It was there. Could I have handled a little bit more? I could have handled more Nintendo announcements, another game shown off. Sure, yeah, I get it. But I feel like this was an excellent demonstration of an upcoming title. If Smash isn't for you, I can see why there'd be issues. But Smash is for me, and just the excitement of having every single character ever back in the game and finally getting, spoilers, Ridley in the game. You guys, this was awesome. I was so into this.
I was so happy, because the thing is, like you, Tim, I'm good with just Smash. Like, it would be great if we got maybe Yoshi. I was a little disappointed that Yoshi did not appear at during the E3 presentation whatsoever, because I thought the game would be released soon.
Everybody did. Now it's delayed until 2019.
There's so many games I still have yet to catch up on, and I say this week after week on the podcast, how many games do you possibly need? You know, how much time do you have in your life? Like, when I listen to a developer at Bandai Namco tell me that it takes 20 hours just to do one chapter of a game, and it takes like 300 hours to finish the game, I'm like, dude, I don't have 300 hours to play your game.
Yeah, all of us were like, ow.
Yeah, right.
That was yes. Divinity, by the way, guys. Divinity Original Sin 2. He was telling us one of the sections took 40 hours.
A chapter.
I mean, I'm weirdly into it, but that's because, you know, I love my RPGs.
And you're
but it, like, they gave us, as far as Smash goes, like, they gave the fans everything they wanted, because you can play with the GameCube controllers, you have every single character, every single stage from every single Smash game, and I've been saying this for 2 years on the podcast. To me, Smash 4 is a perfect fighting game. I don't know what they can actually do. Like, if they do Smash 5, how would it be so different? Like, what can they do to better this game? And, you know, I also said this, like, 2 years ago, Tim, and you thought I was crazy. I'm like, Sakurai's never going to make another Smash game unless it's going to be 10 years from now. And I think I'm right, because I said that 2 years ago.
Rick, here he we says are, we that got every single Smash Bros. Game.
No, but I'll what say I it said, again.
He
what
said
I
it said, after Brawl. He said it after the Wii U one.
Right.
He said it
I
after
know,
this one.
But look, do not expect a Smash game for at least 8 years. Because, like,
I would say maybe, but I'm going to say don't expect another Smash game until the next console's out. How's that?
Right, exactly, 8 years, because the Switch is going to last quite. Like, I think they want the Switch
that,
to last
though.
8 years.
That's but so Microsoft wants the Xbox One X apparent or the Xbox One to last 10 years, and now it's going to last 7.
Yeah, like, the Switch will last 5 years, but like
maybe
that's Nintendo's concept.
But here's the thing: I think we still have more surprises on the way for Smash. Like, I think that what's his face from Dark Souls is going to be included in the game eventually, and we're going to get that announcement. Yeah, well, we're going to get that announcement during the Direct, because the thing is, the game was postponed. So they're not going to announce him as a character to play in Smash if Dark Souls was postponed on the Switch. I think, I also think, and this is like maybe me, Ricky Dean, is crazy conspiracy theories, but I think because there was too many leaks ahead of E3, I think Nintendo made a few adjustments to the press conference so that, for example, like maybe, what were some of the leaks they said? Like, Star Fox was in Starlink, but we got, like, Fortnite. Like, it's possible that there's one or two things that they took out of the press conference and are saving it for a Nintendo Direct.
And that's the thing with Nintendo now, is that E3 is just one Direct out of the year. Maybe the biggest, but not necessarily. Sometimes they have bigger ones out of the blue. That's just how they do now.
I do think, though, that they spent a little too much time on Smash Bros. I did not need them to go over all the details of every single change. I didn't need to see how they slightly tweaked the Wii Fit trainer's face. Like, that's not interesting.
Save it for a Smash Direct. Okay, thank you, because I am not a Smash guy. Don't really care about Smash Brothers. So this Direct was just like, I wanted to shoot myself when I finally figured out that they were going to go through every single character, I was like, who cares? Show me a freaking game. Save it for a Smash Direct. The game's not coming out till December. You got plenty of time to have a Smash Direct somewhere along the way where you can detail every little, you know, microscopic change you've made. This is E3 announced.
They didn't need a direct, though. They had Treehouse. Like, the whole entire Treehouse is about Smash.
I don't care. Like, that's fine, because I don't have to watch the whole... Like, the Treehouse thing is perfect for that, but don't do it in the direct. Like, that was just... You know, this direct, to me, seems so slapped together, too, because I don't know if you were watching, but there were some editing mistakes in this thing, where they clearly had some jump cuts that were subtle, but were there.
There was a weird pause with Reggie at one point where he was trying to jump to the next scene and he wasn't ready for it or something. Like,
there was some weirdness. This was not put together very well.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they changed it. I think they adjusted the Nintendo Direct, possibly because some leaks that were announced prior to E3 are actually true. And maybe they didn't just want to release everything in E3 because it would no longer be a surprise. Like, I think Nintendo doesn't like it when things get leaked. But Marty Allen, who's been on our show, Goomba Stomp writer, he wrote a great article titled "What the E3 Nintendo Direct Left Unsaid." And you should all go read it.
Before we hop to that, we should probably cover what they did say.
Just saying that, like, because I mentioned Yoshi, and Yoshi is one of the things they left unsaid.
Yeah, but they also said they delayed that to 2019. So yeah, there are obviously some things with Yoshi that they weren't like super happy about, because that was supposed to come out this year.
But in terms of things that we did get, we got a little bit of time with Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Which is fine. But they did announce the game prior to E3.
Yes.
Yeah. But there are still questions, and I'm glad that they went and clarified some things. They talked a little bit about it. I think the public's warming up to it. It's not main series. It's main series adjacent, but it is not of the core game. And honestly, I just got to say this right now. If you were expecting the next Pokemon game to be turned around so quick, the next Pokemon generation, like, you're living in a fantasy world. Get out of it. Wake up.
Those are the same people that think the Final Fantasy VII remake was coming this year.
Yeah, like, no. Like, you guys, give them time to develop it. It was a new generation. There's no way there's going to be a one-year turnaround between Gen 7 and Gen 8. Like, no. I'm sorry.
This looks great. Pokemon Let's Go Eevee looks great. I actually am building enthusiasm to purchase this thing. I think I'm probably going to get it. It looks like a great sort of like starter Pokemon game. Nobody has any right to complain. We saw seeing it live, it actually looks much better in person.
I'm not a huge Pokemon fan. I actually want to buy it. And I love the controller. Like, the controller is so amazing. Cool. I kind of want to buy the game just to like have the controller. So as someone who doesn't really care much about Pokemon... I think I will buy it. So yeah, I'm pretty happy. I mean, those are out of the two games we've mentioned so far. I'm gonna 100% buy both.
Two
games.
Definite purchases. And right. If you want like an in-depth perspective from a Poke fan who went in with a healthy amount of skepticism, check out my piece on Goomba Stomp right now, my impression piece. And I've got to say, it sold me. Playing it for just 10 minutes sold me. It's gonna be a very relaxing, soothing experience with something new for everyone. So yeah, check it out.
It was the only time I saw Tim smile throughout the whole entire week when he was playing Pokemon.
It's true. Okay,
and I like...
Because he's dead moment, inside, guys.
That moment when I like threw the Pokeball, and then like the Pokeball made the snap when I caught the Pokemon, and like I felt it in the controller. Man, HD Rumble is doing some cool things. It's a way underrated feature of the Switch. It's so cool.
All right. So, there were some other cool games.
Fortnite and Hollow Knight are out now. Literally, they announced them and they were released. So cool if you're into those. Hollow Knight looks really, really cool if you like.
I think that's huge though, because what Nintendo Switch is missing is that they are missing a game like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds or like Fortnite or like Overwatch. And now we at least have Fortnite. Yeah, we have a battle royale game on the Switch. Of the two, I mean, I don't know. I like both, but like Fortnite is like, it seems suited for Nintendo Switch and the Switch crowd. I thought that was awesome. Plus they released it on that day. So I know a lot of people were downloading the game.
Two million, almost like within the first day or two, 2 million.
I mean, I downloaded both Hollow Knight and Fortnite while I was at E3.
Yeah.
Just for the lines and for the airport later.
Let's talk about some DLC real quick. We got the sneak release of Splatoon 2's Octo expansion. They said it was coming in July, you guys. I don't know if they were just ready ahead of time or if they just lied to make this exciting, but came out during the convention. So pick up Splatoon 2's Octo expansion. I was playing this in line the last day, and that made a lot of the waiting a lot more fun because I had a totally new experience to enjoy. If you like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, that has some surprising DLC. I don't know if anyone knew this was coming. But if you have that game, this looked cool, in my opinion.
Sure. Looks like new characters are sort of... You're playing as, like, some of the side characters, not your main characters, well, which is
but
cool.
But that's the thing. Like, Nintendo's so good at releasing DLC that even if you don't have a lot of big major titles, like, say, Metroid Prime 4 being released this year, I mean, you got the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC, you got the Splatoon expansion pack, you got the Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Donkey Kong DLC expansion pack. Like, there is a reason to return to these games, and that's what I love about a lot of the Nintendo games I buy, is I feel like I get more than my money's worth because I get the game, and then afterwards, even with Kirby too, like the Kirby game they released, they keep releasing extra characters and bonus content. There's so much to do in that game, so you can always go, you know, pick up these games like 6 months, a year from now, and still have new things to do. I'm still playing Zelda.
Yeah. So the DLC, I think, was like, normally, I would say Ryan's gonna say DLC is not sexy. This DLC all was. I would disagree with that. I was actually really surprised. I was excited by this DLC, and all of it is coming soon. A lot of it's out now or later this month. That's cool.
It's just like, I feel like a big direct like E3 is meant for releasing new games, for updates of games that are coming out soon. DLC always feels kind of like a boring announcement for anyone who did not pick up those games. Like, what are they getting out of this? There's nothing for them to be looking forward to here.
Yeah, it's another way to try to promote that game, exactly, though, to people that haven't bought it. I have no problem with DLC being part of an E3 announcement, as long as it's major DLC. And both of these were major DLCs. Like, there's an entire single-player campaign for Splatoon, and there's an entirely new, probably like 20 to 40-hour story for Xenoblade. Like, it's a big DLC thing, almost their own games in many ways.
Now, remind me, because all these conferences blend together, didn't they also do a big video for the Mario and Rabbids DLC? Like, so much of
Nintendo didn't do that. Yeah,
yeah, they had like a 30-second clip of it, if that.
It was in their montage, I think.
Yeah.
Again, it's been a long week.
Well, yeah. But Ubisoft brought out the composer and with an orchestra, and so they performed a soundtrack, and while they were performing the soundtrack, they were showing footage of the Donkey Kong DLC, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the thing about Nintendo too, right, is that they had, like, games, not just with Donkey Kong, but even with Starlink, they had, like, games not only on the Nintendo show floor, but also over at Ubisoft. And a lot of these games ended up appearing in sometimes two press conferences and or like the other guy's press conference. So Starlink was announced. Yeah, it was announced during the Nintendo press conference.
The Star Fox portion of it, because it's got exclusive Star Fox.
Wasn't Starlink announced last year?
It wasn't. Just the Star Fox content was announced. But it was announced last year. And as soon as they said Toys to Life, I said, yep, I'm out.
Yeah, so, like, the thing about this game is I had no interest in this game until they mentioned Star Fox. And then, you know, because I'm a huge fan of Nintendo and Star Fox, I kind of want to get the game now. But then I played the game, and I think we all played the game.
Yeah. I wrote a beat up on it. It's got its issues that they need to iron out. But it has potential, but I don't see it fulfilling it quite yet.
Okay, so let's talk about ports real quick. Dragon Ball FighterZ is coming.
Sure.
That's cool. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, we already knew, but still cool. Paladins, if you're into hero fighters, we've got one on the Switch coming soon. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, I'm very excited about this coming to the Switch. I will buy it again.
Me too, because I did not buy it for the Wii U.
Oh, you totally have to get them, yes. It's a game for anybody else who is in Rick's position. I probably won't rebuy it, but it is a fantastic game. I know it has new content.
And then a couple of new games were also announced or reshown. Octopath Traveler, very excited about this.
Yep.
Killer Looks Queen cute. Black, a little arcade game coming to the Switch, which was pretty fun. I can see the appeal there. We already mentioned Starlink is coming to the Switch, but we have some actual Overcooked 2, another smaller but still fun, exciting announcement. But then there were some surprises from Nintendo and other developers. The first one was Demon X Machina. This was shown off. It wasn't playable, unfortunately, because Ryan and I were like literally dying to touch this. But this game looks incredibly cool.
It wasn't available for anyone, like press, industry, media, general public, nobody. It was not E3.
Yeah, Treehouse got to play it, show off some gameplay with the designer, but I believe they're the only ones that actually showed off any gameplay.
And the Fire Emblem game, right?
What's that?
Oh yeah, Fire Emblem and the
Treehouse. Yeah, we can't. I was gonna say, like, don't say and a Fire Emblem game. Come on, that game looked great. Like, yeah. I'm super excited for this Fire Emblem game.
But do we know when it comes out?
It is coming out, it sounds like, next year.
2019, yeah. I think they said some... I can't remember if it was late 2019 or, like, early 2019 or something.
I'm sure it'll be early, because it was originally scheduled to come out this year. Again, like Yoshi, it's been delayed.
Well, and, like, that's...
But, you know, whatever, it happens. That, and it's still... It looks great.
We'll talk a little bit about this when we talk about what was missing, but I legitimately think that was the kind of slot that they needed for holiday 2018. Is it's a JRPG or something like that normally would fit in and not steal sales from something big like Smash Bros. Because
that was Xenoblade, right, last year?
Exactly. It's like, this can't harm Mario. It's just going to be added bonus for the niche audience that likes this kind of thing.
Right. It would have, look, I mean, that to me is going to be a must buy, and it's unfortunate that it got pushed back. I'm sure they're doing, it looks like they're implementing, they're actually changing things up a little bit too, if you saw the battles and the way they're all playing out.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Wow, it looked good. Like, I loved the battle animations, were fantastic. It looked like the cinematics from the rest of the franchise, but when you were just playing.
So if they need to take their time balancing this thing, which is probably what's going on right now, like just making sure that all these strategic battles are as, you know, optimized as possible for then by all means do it, because you want this to be a knockout Fire Emblem on the Switch. Like, you want this to be something that attracts new players and satisfies old players and just rejuvenates the franchise a little bit.
And I think they've got that on their hands. This looks very promising. I'm really excited about it. And then the final game was, of course, Super Mario Party. Ryan and I...
Surprise! That was a surprise.
Yeah, Ryan and I looked at each other and we were like, fantastic title. How has this never happened before?
Yeah, I am so excited for this game. Like, because they released the Mario Party Superstar All-Stars Edition, whatever it was, like the 100 Greatest Levels or 100 Greatest Minigames for the 3DS. And I was like, why didn't we get that for the Nintendo Switch? But I guess it makes sense because they were going to have a new game coming out for Switch. Mm-hmm. So the thing is like, based on this lineup, like, yes, we didn't get, and we're going to talk about what was left unsaid. Yes, we didn't get maybe some dream announcements, but there's enough there, because like this might just be up until June, right? And that's like, that's not too far away, like, you know what I mean? So like,
specifically Nintendo said that they only wanted to talk about games for 2018, and they actually kept it to 2018 with some early 2019 games, with some that I think was like Nintendo
that come out this year.
Nintendo, no. Like,
yeah,
like probably begrudgingly talking about it because those games probably both got delayed.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Okay, so here's the thing. Our listeners watch Nintendo Direct. They know all this stuff. Let's move on to like what was left unsaid. So my first question is, Metroid Prime 4, they released the 22nd logo last year. And now I'm wondering if that was a mistake. Like, because...
No. Wasn't.
Because, well, but they show up this year with no mention of Metroid Prime. Like, they could have released a 22nd logo for Metroid Prime 4 this year. Everyone would have lost their mind, and people would have loved this Nintendo Direct more.
That was just keeping the momentum of the Switch going in its first year. That was an announcement less of Metroid Prime 4, and more an announcement that we are listening, and we're going to work on the things that you want. Here is a reason to buy this console. The Wii U did not have that ever. So this
time
around, I
still think a lot of people were disappointed. And maybe it's our fault because
But you're talking about the company. This is the difference between Nintendo and Square Enix. Square Enix will announce something and bring it year after year, unless it's Final Fantasy VII Remake. They'll bring it year after year, but it'll be like, here's a cinematic for Kingdom Hearts 3. And it's like, cool, what's the game look like? Cool, what's the game look like? And Nintendo won't bring it until they have actual gameplay footage. It's just like not in their nature to show something off and not have gameplay.
I think we all understand that. It's still nevertheless disappointing, right? Because we were all hoping it was a little further along than what it appears to be, because now it looks like it's going to be, who knows if it's even going to be 2019, right?
Like, right now it's the elephant sitting in the room. They should have at least addressed it. Like during Treehouse or something, you should have addressed it. Look, we're working on Metroid Prime 4, blah, blah, blah.
People are saying the same thing about Pokemon Generation 8, which was announced last year. But, like, those games were both equally far along. It's some guy in a studio making notes and, like, storyboarding. Legitimately, these games are, like, progressed.
But here's the thing. You can't say, like, Nintendo only likes to show this when it's ready. And yet then they show things like the Metroid logo, right? Like, they break their own rules all the time. They showed Zelda years before it actually came out, too, and announced Breath of the Wild.
But they even addressed that showing off the logo might have been a mistake because they weren't ready. And yeah, so, exactly. Like, they just wanted to let fans know that they were working on something. Not so much that this game is anywhere close to ready.
And then
over words. Don't show a logo, because once you've attached visuals to it, then people start to want it a little bit more. Just say, hey, we're working on Metroid Prime 4, by the way.
That's what they did with Pokemon. They just had an interview and people were still freaking out that it's not here, that they didn't talk about it.
Yeah,
so, you can't defend them too much. Like, they like to have their cake and eat it too, saying, hey, we only want to show games are playable this year, except we're going to show Fire Emblem and we're going to show Deus Ex Machina and we're going to show all the other games. And then also when somebody asks about Metroid, well, you know what? We're only concentrating on games that we do this year.
I'm positive. Fire Emblem was supposed to be December. I am positive it was supposed to be in that Xenoblade slot. I was too confident.
They still showed it, though, and it's 2019 now. So, they can't say we're only doing this and then break the rules constantly. It's disappointing.
Give these guys a break once in a while. Here's my biggest frustration. No. But here's not you, but the public is. The public is. And it's very frustrating for me, because here's the thing. They gave us an extensive look at Smash Bros. And what did everyone say? Where's Waluigi? We finally get Ridley. Where's Waluigi? It's like, no, you guys, give them a break. They show off a huge game that everyone's looking forward to, and everyone's like, where's Animal Crossing? And it's like, I get that you're excited for it, but just think about it. Realistically, they're not going to release their two 15 million units sold franchises back to back. That would just kind of what I say.
But seriously, Tim, where is Waluigi? Like, seriously.
Hopefully.
What have you done for me lately? Ridley is yesterday's news. I want Waluigi now.
But here's the other thing. People are like, where's the new Pokemon game? And I'm like, they're not going to be selling Let's Go Pikachu and confuse consumers that aren't paying that close of attention with, like, oh, here's the other Pokemon game. They're not going to do that.
That would have confused my parents as a kid.
Exactly.
But what's happened here is now Nintendo, because they released the Metroid logo so long ago, they have turned into a bit of a Square Enix. Now I want to know what's up with this thing. Look, it's human nature, I think. You released this logo a year ago, and people think it's going to be further along, and maybe you'll be able to show something else this year. And you know, honestly, Tim, if they would have just released a anything, right? Even if it was a cinematic, I think people would have been happier, just because they would have gotten confirmation that the project is still alive. Because, you know, Metroid's a very fragile franchise, right? Like, people are still kind of gun-shy about whether or not it'll ever actually come back. And just because Nintendo released a logo for it doesn't mean...
Well, we just got a Metroid game not too long ago, Federation Force. It was great. Everyone loved it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's a franchise.
You're skipping over the one on the 3DS, which was actually dope, but yeah.
It's true.
People are anxious about that series, though, and I think they just wanted reassurance, a pat on the back saying, guys, see, here's proof, it's still coming.
And maybe they should have been like, oh, here's Ridley for Smash Bros. Maybe he'll make an appearance in Metroid Prime 4 or something like that. He probably would have, yeah. I think that probably would have been the best way to do it, is to be like, maybe. And I don't know if they were trying to why Metroid Prime 4.
So, I don't know. So here, guys, you have to remember one thing for sure is Nintendo has not given up on Metroid. So, like, I mean, they're releasing Ridley for Smash. They released the Metroid game for 3DS, which was incredible, dope. Metroid Federation Force might have been disappointing, but they still were making Metroid games, and they gave us the Metroid 4 Prime logo last year. So they haven't given up on Metroid, but, you know, I'm, like, sitting here wondering, what about, like, you know, F-Zero? I mean, Star Fox is dead because you just gave him to Ubisoft, but what about Captain Falco?
Fans' hopes for a new F-Zero are just that. They're hopes. They're pipe dreams. That's, Miyamoto stated right a long time
Mother,
ago.
Right there with the Mother franchise.
Miyamoto point blank told everybody, what more do you want? We can't do anything more with the F-Zero franchise. And he had a quote where he said, I don't understand why fans are so passionate about wanting another F-Zero. What else could we possibly
do? Same reason fans want a new Pokemon Snap. And they won't make it because they don't that's like think saying, there's anything
why do we,
there.
Why do we have how many Mario Kart games we have now? 8? Like,
I can't.
I mean, okay,
that,
so there's new. There's new levels.
There's so much they can do with Pokemon Snap.
There's so much they could do. There's new levels. There's new cars. There's new characters. Like that. That's anyways. We're. I guess the thing is.
That's the one of you on F-Zero. I think it's dead in their mind. Like, I think they don't care.
Well, it shouldn't be.
I kind of agree with Nintendo. They've got a better racer on their hands. Forget F-Zero. We've got Mario Kart. Who cares? Who cares about F-Zero? I'm sorry.
It actually does exist. Well, that'll be the new F-Zero, I suppose.
Yeah, there you go. And that would be a better franchise because people are more attached to Star Fox anyway. Captain Falcon is there to get some really funny kills in Smash Bros.
Although the lore in F-Zero is pretty awesome if you've ever really dived into it a bit. It's pretty out there.
I just think it's been so long that there are a lot of Nintendo fans out there that don't even know that Captain Falcon is from his own franchise.
Star Fox games, their stories are basically like The Force Awakens. Like if somebody remakes The Force Awakens, which remade Star Wars, that's how diluted the Star Fox story is getting. It's kind of funny.
All right. I guess the few things that Marty mentioned in the article, and I wasn't expecting this announcement during the presentation, but I thought they would at least address it during the Treehouse event, because the Treehouse event, let's face it, is like 3 days long. The online service, anything about streaming online in general, what are the other like 26 games that we're going to get with the NES Nintendo bundle? Because I think they've only mentioned like 4 so far.
That's a different direct. Saying that you like expect that at E3, we already said DLC is not sexy. You know what's even less sexy? And people have fallen into this trap
features.
Constantly.
Online
like,
features.
Think about
NES
the
games.
Xbox One announcement when they're like, and check out what we can do with this console. Here's like a Kinect, and it's boring. No one cares.
You have Treehouse, though. I'm not talking about during the presentation. I'm talking about during Treehouse.
That's for showing off the games at length. That's not for, hey, let's check out a menu screen, you guys. Like, sure, when I played Pokemon, I wanted to see what was up, but that was me personally. If you show up to Treehouse and you're like trying to get people hyped and you pull up a menu for an online system, that's garbage.
Well, if you put Captain Falco on that menu, it's pretty sexy, right?
10-minute direct will deal with all the online service stuff, and they can announce everything separately.
And it'll be,
coming late
in
August.
July. It'll be in July or something.
Really? All right.
Maybe not, depending on what other games they want to announce, if they want to do release.
The last thing I want to talk about, because we're running long here, they did not mention anything for the 3DS.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Yes, it may be. This, like Luigi's Mansion, they didn't bring that up even. I'm kind of surprised they didn't show it, at least, you know, in part of a trailer. But that might be it. That's probably
I think with Pokemon moving over to the Switch, that's the end of the 3DS. Like, they're going to stop support of that here soon.
Get ready for the 3DS obituaries to hit every major website, probably including ours.
I think that with the 3DS, they're still supporting, like, there's still new 3DS models coming out. But that's what we're going to see. We're going to see like one or two releases, some new models, because they can milk this thing for all it's worth. But honestly, like, people don't want to hear announcements for the 3DS. If they did announce something for the 3DS, you know, we as fans would say, why isn't this on Switch? So now
Reggie pretty much stated, like, he got interviewed, and I actually listened to Nintendo Power Podcast, and I listened to a lot of the Treehouse stuff, and he pretty much stated that, you know, it's like, it's really, at this point, it's the product for people who can't afford the Nintendo Switch. And so they're going to continue to, you know, to produce some games for it. But now they're focusing, you know, on the Nintendo Switch. And, I mean, I'm happy. Like, I'm happy.
Yeah,
because, like,
thankfully.
Yeah, like I actually traveled with both the 3DS and the Nintendo Switch, and I never pulled out my 3DS.
Yeah.
Yep.
And here's the thing. If you say you can't afford a Nintendo Switch, that's a very understandable position. And nobody's leaving you behind, because the 3DS, I guarantee you there are a boatload of games you haven't played for that system and that are very good. Like, the 3DS has so many good games. You have not played them all, and you will continue to have things to purchase for quite a while.
Yeah, so, it's, what, 7 years old now?
It's console is seven. Yeah.
Hundreds of games to play on that.
And really good ones. So you're not being left behind and, like, never being able to play games again or something like that. Like, that system will serve you well for a long time.
It seriously has the most gorgeous library.
So I guess to close it off here, I don't think the Nintendo Direct was at all a disaster. I think it was a fairly good presentation. It wasn't as great as last year. You know, we didn't get a Breath of the Wild. We didn't get a Super Mario Odyssey announcement. But for me personally, like, there's a lot of games I still need to finish on my Switch. I still haven't finished Skyrim. I'm playing Mario Tennis right now. There's Smash coming out. There's Fortnite. There's Hollow Knight. There's a ton of games to keep me busy up until about maybe end of January. I'm a little worried for what happens after January, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get Nintendo Direct in December.
I'm more excited for what happens after January, because I feel like that's when we're going to get Yoshi. We're going to get Fire Emblem. We're going to get a lot of these other, like, games that were supposed to be 2018s. I think are going to come out in the first part of 2019.
Yeah, February used to suck, and now it's like a premium. It's like fall.
It's all the fall games that got pushed.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I guess to one of our writers, John McCormick, he asked, if you're not into Smash Bros., really, what is there for you though on the Switch in 2018? And I feel like after this Direct, with, you know, Fire Emblem coming in 2019, with Demon X Machina also coming in there, and then just like a bunch of DLC, there's not a whole lot for you to last you through the rest of the year and into the beginning of next year.
From Nintendo. I completely agree with that statement, because I am one of those people. I'm not into Smash. I won't be buying Smash. I have nobody to play Smash with, and that's not really a single-player game, so it won't be a purchase for me. And yeah, from Nintendo, this Direct was super, super disappointing, because I don't have hardly anything from them to play for the rest of the year. But there are things from other companies that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Octopath Traveler. That's going to take up a large amount of my time. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Wolfenstein. I played that on the show floor, and it plays better than Doom, I think. I think this is... They took everything from Doom, and they made this port even better. So I'm looking forward to that.
I played it on, I think, the Xbox, and I absolutely love Wolfenstein 2, so enjoy that.
Yeah, so there are games coming out from third parties, believe it or not. And I think that's amazingly going to fill the gap for me that Nintendo can't fill for the rest of this year.
Well, let's not forget that Nintendo Switch is the home of indies now. So we've got a lot of indies coming, a lot of side projects.
I'll probably pick up FIFA 2. I think that's going to be fun to play. So
I guess, like, Patrick, I guess Tim and I were excited for the Nintendo Direct because we love Smash. Patrick, I understand your point of view, but like you said, there's plenty of games coming out. Don't worry. We got 3 minutes, guys.
Yeah,
so
I would say
closing remarks
to counter someone like John, like, what is there for me? There's new stuff that they just announced, like Mario Party. Sure, it's a party game, but if you're into it, you're into it. Pokemon, for those of us that like that.
Oh,
I would say,
yes, Pokemon,
like, play,
I'm playing that for sure.
You guys, trust me, if you don't like Pokemon, try it. It's different. It's something new. It's worthwhile. If you like Pokemon, it's not what you wanted, but maybe it's a fun experiment. And then I would say, don't be dismissive of all of the other stuff. Like we mentioned, Octopath looks amazing. Travis Returns is coming out sometime this year. Like, we've got a lot of stuff that's announced, or a lot of indie games that are coming that are worth the time and attention that they'll get in a later Direct, I'm sure.
Your biggest highlight of E3, let's do this really quickly. Let's start off with Ryan.
Oh, from Nintendo, Smash, from actual E3, Spider-Man.
Why did Ryan say Smash twice?
I said Spider-Man.
I'm just hearing Smash. Smash,
Spider-Man.
The highlight. Spider-Man was great, but Smash was better.
For Nintendo, I don't really have a highlight from Nintendo other than, you know, of course, their hospitality. But for me, the highlight was mint chocolate chip ice cream with cookie bits and then playing Rage 2.
It's a good highlight.
I don't know. I had like a lot of highlights. I like playing. I like it when you get invited by Warner Brothers to play Hitman, and you have someone that actually walks you through the game. Like little things like that really help. But I think, I mean, meeting you guys for the first time was like amazing.
Oh yeah,
all you can eat sushi.
Yeah, eating sushi with Tim and Ryan, getting drunk with Patrick.
Telling Rick not to give all of his money away to homeless people.
God, I must have spent so much money on homeless people.
Getting the bouncer of a bar to help me explain to Rick not to give his money to the homeless people.
There's too many homeless people in LA. It's depressing. I don't know, man. I think the biggest highlight for me was really just, even though nothing big happened, was getting into the Nintendo VIP room with just a slight chance of maybe meeting Sakurai or Miyamoto or Reggie, because you never know, because they are walking around. So there's a part of me that wants to go back next year. If I go back, I'm well prepared. I know what to do, what not to do, and I will go with my nephew. But I will only go if a bunch of people from Goomba Stomp go, because again, that's the thing about E3. It's about meeting people. So all in all, if you got a media pass, do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up. Ryan, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at RPCappy. You can find me on Xbox and PlayStation at Captain Cappy. And you can find me right here on the site where I host another podcast called The Fire Keepers. It's all about Dark Souls and that franchise.
Sure, just forget about Game Boys. What about you, Patrick?
I'm so used to this ending on like that spiel from being Game Boys that I forgot all about. But this is not Game Boys. This is Unexpressed. You can also find me on Game Boys. It's all about co-op gaming.
You can find me, of course, just hovering around Goomba Stomp in general, online at Sorted Cinema. If you're a movie fan, go ahead and tweet some movies at me.
Yeah. And what about you, Rick?
On Twitter, it's Goomba Stomp. You can follow the actual website on Facebook, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it. I'm going to be writing a lot. I took a month off from writing, so I'm going to be writing a lot over the next like 30 days. I got a bunch of E3 articles coming up, including my list of my favorite games. And spoiler, my favorite game of the show, at least playable, was Days Gone.
Yeah. And I'm Tim. You can find me at The Freemason, MAISON, on Twitter. Find my other show, Game Boys. It will be up later this week, all about E3 and all the co-op games there. And, of course, just check out all of our work on Goomba Stomp as we're covering the event. I've got a piece about Pokemon already out. I've got a piece about Kingdom Hearts on its way. And I'll probably be covering Spider-Man as well. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you had a great E3 watching all the announcements. And if you were there, we hope you had a ton of fun. But we will talk to you more next week, probably a little bit more about E3 and everything else that Nintendo has going on. Talk to you then.